We're up to Mesillas Yesharim, getting back to that. We're up to Chovas Ha'adam V'Olamo, the first chapter, in the middle. The paragraph that starts, V'tira Be'emes. Everybody have one standard version here that everybody can get the page? V'tira Be'emes.
Page
9.
9?
Okay.
In the English book, it's on page 9.
Okay. V'tira be'emes shekvar lo yuchal shum bal seichel lahamin shetachlis briyas ha'adam hu lematzavo b'olam hazeh. It's not possible for any sane person to believe that a person was created merely for this world. Okay? And the whole book of Koheles was written to point this out, that a person was not created as the end purpose, his matzav in this world, because then it's a very vain and useless life. Because as Koheles goes through every single thing in life that a person could think is a benefit, Lamaisa, if everything ends when a person dies in this world, it's pretty useless. And that's what it means, hevel. Hevel is breath, right? Air. Air is basically useless in itself. But if you use it to breathe, it gives life. So as a means, air is very important. As an end in itself, as just something in itself, it has there's nothing to it. So all this world is hevel. If you use it as a means to reach an end, which is an eternal end, then it has tremendous value. If you use it as an end in itself, it's basically worthless. So that is what the message of Koheles, which is basically the seichel, right? How a rational person would be able to look at this world and see that if it doesn't have a purpose beyond it, then it's pretty worthless. Okay. Kimahim, and now he explains what this idea is. He says, and that's why the Mikta Malio, I think, says that's why a person in this world really gets no real satisfaction from things in this world, because the more you want, have, the more you want. You're never really satisfied, because really the physical world wasn't meant to satisfy a person. It was meant only to be a means to reach an end, and real satisfaction only comes from spiritual, eternal things. So the more physical things you have, it's not going to satisfy you. Masha'ein Cain, spiritual things can be very satisfying even in this world. But what a person really is looking for in this world, the satisfaction is beyond this world. So the physical things in this world usually never bring a person satisfaction. They give him temporary pleasure, but then you want more and always want more and more, and there's never an end. And just the opposite, the more you have, the more you want. He also brings down the bottom here, Chazkel Levenstein, that we're talking about even this world. There's two matzavim in this world. One is this world after the chait of Adam and Chava, which the world has a lot of tzaras or whatever. Even the ideal world in Gan Eden can't be for its own sake, and we're going to explain both things. In other words, you have to look at the world in two ways. One is that the world after the chait, right, is pretty much can't be for its own sake. And in the other version of the Mesillas Yesharim, right, the debate version, the discussion version, there he brings up another point which he doesn't bring up over here. And that is that, why don't we say that really the world was created for the sake of this world in its ideal state. But now that we sin, so now it doesn't serve that purpose. Right? Just like we say a lot of things, a person in this world doesn't reach his goal. It was for what's the sake of the Olam Haba. And originally it was supposed to be a very different process than it is now, but now because of the sin, it became a different process. So he explains that it still is not the same. In other words, if you understand that this world is not an end in itself. It's only a means to reach an end. Then it makes sense to say, okay, that original means should have been on a much more higher and easier and more sublime nature. Okay, but since people sinned, that means changed into a different process, which has a lot of tzaris with it, and it takes a long time or whatever. But it's all not for the sake of what's here. So the means can change, but in the end, you're going to get that same end. So then the means make sense, whether they are good means, ideal means, or less than ideal means. They're still only means. But if the world was created as an end, this is it, then it doesn't make sense that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam would continue the world going if it... Okay, maybe it would make sense that the world was created for this world on its ideal level. But if that ideal level wasn't ever reached, then why keep it going on a less than ideal level if the whole purpose was this world and this world is not being achieved anyway on that less than ideal level? If it's for a greater purpose, it makes sense to keep it going even on less than an ideal level as long as that ultimate purpose will be achieved. But if there is no ultimate purpose, it's only what the person has here, then if it didn't work out in the ideal, then get rid of it. Then why is it kedai to keep it on a very much less than ideal level? The whole purpose is there anymore. That's the difference. Now, you could ask the same question. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam created the world to be on one level, and it's on a different level. So he created it to be on a level for the sake of this world, and now it's on a lesser level. But again, if the whole purpose is this world, that lesser level makes no sense. If the whole purpose is something, an end goal, and that end goal will still be realized, just to be realized through different means, then it makes sense to change the means, because in the end, you're still going to get the original intention that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam had. Okay. But if the original intention was only this world, and that original intention was batel, then what's the purpose of keeping going? Okay, that's what he adds over there. Okay, so now he says... So you have to look at this, what he's going to say now, on two levels. One is those things that apply even to the ideal state of this world, surely to the state that we see today, which is not the ideal. Okay? Ki mahem chayei ha'odam b'olam hazeh. In the way things are now, right, what's a person's worth, life worth in this world as an end in itself? But the person was created for this world. Who in this world is really happy? That the Rebbeinu Shel Olam created this world to benefit human beings. How many people benefit from this world and are really happy and serene in this world? First of all, we live a short amount of time, 70 years. And with strength, 80 years. Right? Even though we wish each other 120 years. 70, 80 is already a lifetime. And most of life is a bunch of effort and bother and pains, aches and pains. And it applies to all ages. People, you know, at one age or at one stage in life think that they have tzaris and if they only get through that, they'll be okay. Right? Kids think that, you know, that they're a terrible life because they have to go to school and they're, you know, imprisoned all day and someday they're going to graduate and then they'll be free. Yeah. And then they graduate and they find they're not free, you know, then they're imprisoned in jobs and whatever, and learning for jobs or whatever, right? So that's little kids. Then people get older and they think the only tzaras they have is I have to get married and I have to get rid of my acne and what's it called? And those become the major problems in life. But someday, what's it called, I'm going to get rid of the acne because I'm going to mature and I'll be married and then people, you know, the next stage, they're constantly worried they're not married yet, right? So they have terrible tzaris in anticipating getting married, right? Then people get married. Then they find out that then the tzaris start, right? For some people, not for me, of course, but for some people. Right? And then the problem is that they are married. Then people don't have children. So that's a big tzara for them. Right? And they think that Mirtz Hashem, I have children, that will end my tzaras. Then they have children. Then they find out the tzaras only began. Right? And some people, what's it called, have children and they have the tzaras, then they're hoping that, well, someday the children will grow up and then they find out that then they're bigger tzaras. And that's how life goes. Every stage you think that your problems are the ichor ones, and if they'll just go away, everything will be okay. And then you find out that the next stage also has problems. Right? Then you think, you know, being young is a problem, but you'll be old, you'll be able to retire, and everything will be fine. Then you begin to see, you know, that being old is not so great either, because, but then you really forget everything anyway, so it doesn't make a difference to you. Right? See,
live the moment.
Right, then the, so, it's every stage of life has its problems. It's a world of problems. You can't avoid it. Right? And that's in the lesser stuff. I didn't come here to depress you. That's what life is all about. You have to make the best of it. And that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be that you have challenges and you deal with them. But if you're looking to be serene in this world, this is the reason why a person was created, and he's going to be happy and serene. That's not what this world is all about. It's not the goal. It's not even the goal. Right? V'kama minei tzar is all kinds of pains and chaloyim and sicknesses. U'machovim. Right? Tzar is all kinds of tribulations, and machovim is physical pain. V'tirdos and bothers. A person is bothered, is constantly busy and bothered with all kinds of responsibilities and fears and whatever. The achar calls those, and after this, what do you have to look forward for? Dying. Right? That's the goal of, that's the end of everything. Right? The end isn't that everything will be all fine, okay? Then you think, okay, so I died, now everything is going to be fine. No, that's when your tzaras start in the next world. Right? Don't think that as it says in Pirkei Avos, don't think that the kever is going to be a escape from problems. Then you have other problems if you didn't live your life properly in this world. Echad mine elef lo yimtze shiir ba'olam lo hanos v'shalva amitis. One in a thousand, probably not even that, right, can feel that he really has a majority of this world is good and peaceful. Right? Even one in a thousand doesn't feel like that. That even the majority of this world for him is good and peaceful. The God who? Ilu yagil ameyashon. Even if the guy will live 100 years. By that time, he'll be over bottled, right? He won't be able to function, and he'll be senile and can't function, can't move, can't walk, right? 100-year-old people, even great people. Rav Shach was 100 years old and he couldn't function. Mamish couldn't function. So, what do you have to look forward to? So, what are you going to tell me? So then, the tachlis is beyond this world, it's like that. No, but if the tachlis is beyond this world, then it makes sense that a person, as he gets older, the Rabbanu Shel Olam takes away his ability to function eventually. You're 100, you're over a bottled in Olam. Why? Because it makes it easier to make the transition to the next world. The Rabbanu Shel Olam wants you to be able to leave this world without really feeling bad. So when you're over bottle, either you don't recognize the fact that you're leaving this world, or you're so, disgusted already that, you're happy to leave the world. Right? Otherwise, it'll be a big tsar to leave this world. But if the purpose is what comes after, then it makes sense, as you get older and older, to make it easier to leave this stage and to go on to the next stage. But if there is no next stage, everything is for the sake of this world, you would expect, if God created a person to be in this world, as he gets more and more, it gets better and better. Doesn't make sense that as you get more and more, it gets worse and worse, and that you're nimas from this world, if that's the purpose, then it doesn't make any sense. It makes sense if there's something beyond this and wants to make it easy to make the transition. If there is no transition, then why would the Rebbe Shalom want to give you a world, and as you're getting more and more, that's when it becomes worse and worse? The gam who, one second, the lo od, another thing, if the whole purpose of creation was for the sake of this world, then a person could have existed in this world like an animal, with a nefesh that gives him pleasure, that when he eats, he enjoys it. But he sees things that he enjoys and enjoys it, and he's basically functioning like an animal with a nefesh. What does he need a neshama for? If the whole purpose is this world, why do you need a neshama? Just the opposite, he says. we're going to go on. The neshama doesn't like this world. So why put a neshama into the body? For what purpose? The neshama doesn't get any enjoyment from the physical things in this world. It's abhorrent to the neshama, the physical things. The neshama only gets pleasure from spiritual things. So if the whole purpose was this world, the physical world, what do you need a neshama for? Right? To oppress your neshama? By imprisoning it in a physical world where the physical pleasures of this world are abhorrent to the neshama? V'hu mashalam dunu chazal b'medrash koheles, v'zeh l'shono. Gam ha-nefesh lo simole. The nefesh is never filled in this world. V'irodi, what's it compared to? Nothing you can give the neshama in this world will please it. Because it's not geared for those kinds of pleasures. It's foreign to the neshama, physical things. What can it be compared to? To a peasant who married a princess. Im yavi lo kol ma sheba'olam, einam chashuvim lo. Whatever the peasant can give the princess from his peasant world is never going to make her happy. She comes from a different world. Right? What's he going to bring her? Some potatoes? Right? She wants gourmet food. He doesn't know what that is. Right, he was going to bring her what's it called, a dress that he buys in the market, and she's used to satin silk clothing. It's nothing that he could possibly give her that's in his world could possibly satisfy her. She comes from a different world. Right, klum she bas melech, kach hanefesh, so to the neshama, ilo heves lakol madane olam. You could bring all the things that are found in this world, einam klum la. It means nothing to the neshama. The neshama is from a different world. And the pleasures of this physical world mean nothing to the neshama. L'mashi himinu elyonim, because the neshama is from a different fabric. It's a spiritual, nothing physical could possibly make the neshama, which is spiritual, happy. V'chein omru chazal, and that's how chazal describe this world. Al korcha chatanotzer v'al korcha chatanolem. Right, think Gesher HaChaim, gives a picture of it. He describes it in great detail. That neshama is very happy to be in a spiritual world. We all existed as neshamas for thousands of years since the creation of the world. Either we're created on the first day of creation or the second day of creation, to Shiloh, when the neshamas were created. And we existed under God's throne, whatever that means, right? It wasn't that we were crouched under some kind of chair up there, right? It means that we had a close connection to God underneath whatever God's throne means. So we had that close, and we were very happy. Very happy. And serene, being close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? That's the neshama's pleasure. And one day, a malach came and said, time for you to go down into the physical world. You see those two cells that just combined, right? That's the beginning of your body, and you're going into those two cells. And the shaman says, what are you talking about? Right? I'm very happy being here. I'm not going into the body of that woman, right? In any cells or whatever. It's disgusting to me. Right? I should go into a physical body, right? In those, tipa srucha. So the malach says, we didn't ask you if you want to go, right? You have to go, right? It's not your choice. You're conceived against your will, right? The neshama protests, right? Doesn't want to go in. Okay, now you're there for 9 months. The neshama is in this body that's growing, but not so bad. It's learning Torah with a malach, and he can see from one end of the world to the other. It says that a candle is lit at his head. Some women think that's why they get heartburn when they're pregnant, because of that candle. But it's not a physical candle. It means that there's a spiritual light that envelops that embryo. And okay, so it's not heaven. But, don't have to go work, and I get my food easily. And, the mother's environment is very comfortable, right? And most people try to, revive that through life. That's why they sleep in a fetal position, because they're looking back. Right, at the best time in their life, when they were 9 months in an embryo. So the person figures, okay, it's not heaven, but it's livable. Then Malach comes and says, okay, it's time to be born. He said, no, I really think I'll stay here for the rest of the time. My mother wouldn't be too happy with that, but right, I think if I have to be here already, let's keep it like this. I'm not interested in going out into the world. And Malach says again, nobody asked you. You have to be born. That's why people are born. They don't breathe until they're hit. They don't want to be in this world. And they cry. First thing you do in this world is cry. Right? You don't want to be born. So, they what's it called? Then you are korkachata nolad. Okay? And now, even against your will, you have to live. People sometimes just want to give up or whatever. But most people don't commit suicide. So, al korkachata chayin. Even if you'd like to commit suicide, you're not allowed. So, you have to live, even against your will. And then what happens is a metamorphosis. Now, person's 120, and a Malach comes back, and he says, okay, you got your wish, right, to get to the neshama, we're going back. Going back to what's it called, the world you were in before. But the neshama got so used to this world, it says, you know what, maybe another 10 years. Right? I got things to do, what's it called, I can't, you know, just leave. So the Malach says, nobody asked you again. Al korchecha tameis. Right, you're not, it's not your choice. You have to leave. And then, you think the problems are over there, and now you have to go in front of God and give an accounting for everything that happened in the world. So they ask, if everything's against your will, why is it even accounting? I didn't ask for this. So the Vilna Gaon says that it's similar to the following Gemara. Gemara says, if you have a field that's surrounded by somebody else's field, and they build a fence between your field and their field, on three sides around your field, and you don't do anything, you don't have to pay for the fence. I didn't ask for the fence. I didn't ask for it. Really, I have no too much of benefit either, because even though three sides of my field are closed, one side's completely open. But if I take advantage and I close that fourth side, then I have to pay half for the other three sides. Why? Because I showed that I'm interested in it. Right? It's true, the other three things were done against my will. But the fact that I closed it in and benefited from it, right, that I wanted it, so now I have to pay for all three sides. Same thing. You're taka conceived, born, and live against your will. But when the time comes to die, you'd like to stay around. So the Rebbe Shlom says, fine, now you showed that you're happy with all the other things. So now you're going to have to give an accounting for everything. It would seem that therefore a person who commits suicide shouldn't have to give an accounting, right, because he wasn't happy with everything else. I don't know if that's true or not, but it makes you something to think about. In any case, so that's what this world is about, right? You're conceived, born, live, die. Everything basically is not because of your choice. The neshama did not want to come into this world. Right? And the fact that you don't want to leave the world is not because of the neshama, it's just because your neshama forgot where it's holding, and your body takes over, and you don't want to leave. And that could be why the Rabban Shalom makes it, if people get old, and they get senile, and they get aches and pains, and eventually, it's easier to leave the world. It doesn't have to be totally forced, because when it comes, a person's not all that attached anymore to this world. In fact, it says that people who are attached to this world don't get to Olam Haba so fast. They don't get to Gan Eden. They roam around this world. The neshamas are so attached to this physical world that they have to roam around this world for quite a while before they can get to Gehenna. Gehenna is a stage where at least the neshama is separated from this world, goes into a spiritual world that's for a tikkun. Then eventually to Gan Eden. But if you're not so attached to this world, then after you die, so you'll naturally go into the spiritual world, because you're not attached to this world altogether. But the more a person gets attached to this world, the more difficult it is for his neshama to leave this world even after death. Ki ein ha-neshama oheves, let's just finish the paragraph. Ki ein ha-neshama oheves olam hazeh. The neshama does not like this world, klal, at all. Ela adrama mu'eses bo, disgusted by it. Because it's a different fabric, a different world, different metzias. God wouldn't have created a neshama that only exists in this world. There's nothing beyond it for the sake of something that's... Why would God do that? He's not cruel. Why would he create a neshama to oppress it? The whole purpose is for what the neshama is going to get eternally in Olam Haba. But if the neshama knows that the only way it can get that reward and that attachment to God more than it had before is through what it does in this world as a means to reach an end, then the neshama is happy in this world too. Because then people can do things in this world that will benefit the neshama eternally. The neshama is happy with that. And those things have to happen in this world, as he will explain. Okay.
This whole last point is all based on how Kodesh Baruch Hu, why Kodesh Baruch Hu created a neshama. When someone just looks around the world.
That's even if the world would be, that's the second part. Even if the world be on its ideal, Gan Eden, why would neshama have to come into a physical world? If the world is the way we see it, then the first part applies. Even if the world would be perfect, it's still the second thing would apply.
Right, but somebody who's looking around the world and trying to figure out what's what, how does he know the person that he has a neshama?
That's to say, he's not trying to prove to people who don't believe in anything. He's trying to prove to people who believe, right? But now that without that belief, with the kalim you have, let's put it together and see. That's all. He's not trying to prove to people who don't believe anything. Okay. The people believe what is. I believe I have a neshama. Then why do you think the Rabbanim should give you a neshama?
Not really.
The first part is for people that maybe don't even believe in neshama, but you can't believe that the world was created for this, just what you can see. And if you believe in neshama, it's even worse. Why would the Rabbanim make you a neshama? What?
The idea of Gilgulin and neshama that weren't able to go up to the next world.
Yeah, but still, whatever it is, it's still for an end purpose. That's all. It's a shilas how long it takes and what the beads are to reach that.
That's
what he says in the beginning. The Rabban Shem wanted to shower his goodness on a creation that could receive that goodness and make it the reward for what that creation did. So it would be appreciated.
But we don't deserve, obviously, because we don't behave the
No, so then the Rabban Shem still wanted to shower that goodness, and he has ways of getting that end goal, right, in all different kinds of ways that in the end the person will get it. But since it has to be earned, right, and deserved, so he's going to have to go through a lot of things to be able to earn and deserve it if he doesn't choose to do that properly the first time around. But eventually, the Rabban Shem will give that tova that he wants to give the neshama, it'll get it one way or the other. Right? It's better to get it where you earn it, deserve it, or whatever. If you don't do the right things, then you're going to have to get it, and it's going to take a lot of things. In the end, it's still going to be Kedai, but you got it.
Because Hillel and
Shammai, right. Shammai, said, that's what we explained.
That, a few years, and then decided that it was not worthwhile.
Right. So we'll start next time. That what that means that wasn't worthwhile, right? Lachari was worthwhile, because we'll discuss.